Now, the first of the month came and went yesterday, and that means for many in Wisconsin, rent payments are due. That says unemployment claims in the state and across the U.S. have been breaking records, with millions of workers laid off and businesses forced to close down amid the coronavirus outbreak. So what do you need to know as a renter or a homeowner? What protections do you have if you're struggling to make ends meet during this crisis? Kurt Paulson is a professor of housing, land use, and municipal finance at UW-Madison. Kurt, welcome back to the show.
Rob, thanks for having me.
Well, a lot of people are in uncertain and maybe unfamiliar territory right now. What kind of protections are there in place for Wisconsin renters, and what kind of assistance might be available for them?
So, as you mentioned, a lot of people went out of work in the last 2 weeks and maybe haven't received their unemployment checks yet, and certainly the individual stimulus checks have not arrived yet. So April 1st was a real difficult time for most renters to make rent. In terms of protections, there's protections at the federal level and at the state level. So I'll talk first at the state level. So as your listeners may know, on March 27th, Governor Evers had Executive Order Number 15, and that basically temporarily suspends any eviction of renters for 60 days through May 26th. So anyone who is currently in a rental unit is protected from eviction for the next 60 days. So that's a protection that they have. In terms of resources, unfortunately there, the story is a little more murky and not necessarily good news. So for individuals who have financial difficulties due to COVID-19, their main sources of additional income to be able to pay for rent and other expenses is going to be the unemployment benefits and then, in a couple of weeks, the stimulus check. A lot of social service agencies, nonprofits, churches, the type of organizations that normally help people in difficult situations, certainly do have some resources to help people make rent and meet their expenses. But as we all know, those are extremely taxed right now. And so we're really in a challenging situation. The rental market in Wisconsin for low-income renters was already very challenging. And there's not any great news in terms of the rental front.
And an important point here, you mentioned that there's this moratorium on evictions. That does not mean a moratorium on rent being due. People are still liable to pay their rent, and I think there's been some confusion about that point.
And that's a very important point to say, is a tenancy agreement or a rental agreement is a legal contract. And so you do still have the obligation to pay your rent. The difficulty is, of course, that for many tenants, they just don't have the money to pay it right now through no fault of their own. So the moratorium on evictions does not waive your payment. That's the same with the mortgage. You still have to pay. So the best advice is for anyone who's suffering financially is to talk to your landlord, talk to your property owner sooner rather than later, and try to work out an arrangement. Make sure they are aware of your situation. You can't just not pay the rent. So that's an important point to say. There's likely going to be legislative action at the federal and state level to provide additional resources to renters, but we don't know if that's going to come through yet. So in the meantime, if you are renting and if you're still in a house, if you can, you still need to pay your rent and you need to talk to your landlord. A lot of landlords are working out deals with their tenants to pay a portion of the rent or to delay a payment for a while. But even if you are able to delay a payment, you'll still be obligated to pay that back at some point in time in the future.
And you briefly mentioned homeowners. What if we're talking about a mortgage payment instead of a rent payment? What kind of situation are people in there?
Right. So there are some more federal protections than state protections. So again, at the state level, the governor's order prohibits any mortgagee, that would be the the bank or the lending company from starting a foreclosure, and there can't be any foreclosure actions or sheriff sales during that 60-day period. Now, for most mortgage holders, people who own their home, there's a very good chance your mortgage is held by or financed by some agency within the federal government, either Fannie Mae or groups like FHA or Freddie Mac. And in those cases, anyone who has a mortgage and has financial difficulties because of the COVID-19 crisis needs to call their lender or their servicer. That's the company that you pay the check to every month. And you can request 180 days of what is called forbearance. You don't have to prove your financial difficulty, but you do have to request a forbearance. And what a forbearance means is that you can avoid making mortgage payments for up to 180 days, and the company that owns your mortgage must give that to you. And they cannot charge you extra fees or extra interest, and they cannot report that to a credit bureau. However, much like the rent, at the end of the 180 days, you still will have to pay what you would have paid for principal and interest. So the most important thing here for homeowners is to call or email your servicer as soon as possible if you expect that you're going to need this. And again, every family is going to have to look at their budget, look at their income, and see if they really need this forbearance. Now, one thing we know is that mortgage companies, there's a long delay in them answering the phone, because as you can imagine, they are swamped right now. So you should not give up. You should contact them as soon as you can. Try to send an email, because that gives you a paper trail of the conversation. But again, just the main point is, if you own a home and have a mortgage, and if you're going to have difficulty because of COVID-19, you are entitled to 180 days of forbearance, but you must ask for it. Your mortgage company will not automatically contact you. You must contact them.
We're talking to Kurt Paulson from UW-Madison's Department of Planning and Landscape Architecture. We're talking about protections and options for renters and homeowners during the coronavirus outbreak. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Is this you? Are you unexpectedly out of work, on furlough, limited hours, and having trouble meeting rent or mortgage payments right now? Have you been able to work something out with your landlord or mortgage provider? Do you have questions for our guest about the governor's order to halt evictions for about 2 months, or what's in the federal stimulus package that might be relevant here? You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our talk with Kurt Paulson, housing expert for UW-Madison. We're talking about what renters and homeowners need to know during the coronavirus outbreak. You could join in at 800-642-1234. Has something suddenly changed for you where you're having trouble now paying your rent or your mortgage? Do you feel like you understand what landlords are and aren't allowed to do under the statewide emergency order? If you're a landlord yourself, what kind of questions do you have? What kind of things you've been hearing from your tenants? Are you working with them on payment schedules? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to your calls now. Barry is with us in Spooner. Barry, hello.
Yeah, good afternoon. I was just wanted to follow up on the forbearance with the mortgages. And my question was, is after the 180 days, is it a balloon payment that's due, or you just continue your payment cycle?
Thanks for that call, Barry. Good question. Kurt?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, and just to remind people, a forbearance means that you don't have to pay now, but that principal and interest is still an obligation that you have to pay. So this is also why it's very important to call your mortgage servicer or your lender right away, and they can walk you through what your options are. The law does not specify what happens to that forbeared interest in principal, but there's really three options that homeowners have. One is to make a lump sum payment at the end of 180 days. This would likely be the case if you were able to get back to work. The second option is you can negotiate with your lender a repayment plan. That might mean that you continue to make regular mortgage payments, but you add in a little bit each month to cover the backlog and maybe spread that over 2 or 3 years. The third option is that you would have to do a full loan modification or possibly even a refinance with your lender. Some lenders have already said that if you're in good credit already and you were current on your mortgage, they may just modify your loan to add those additional 3 or 6 months to the end of the loan, so it just extends the term. But there's no rule in the federal law that says a mortgage holder has to do one or the other. So again, it's important that you keep paperwork, keep a good record of what is discussed, and call your lender or servicer right away.
Barry, thanks a lot for that call. We'll go now to Jim with us in Janesville. Jim, hello.
Hello.
What'd you want to bring up, Jim?
Yes. I'm calling. This isn't about rent or anything like this, but I'm a small business owner in Janesville. And this being April, I have to pay my withholding taxes for the month of March. And I also have to pay my quarterly taxes, which is due, all that's due by the 15th of the month. And my question is, what do I do about that? All of my employees are laid off.
Gotcha, Jim. Thanks for the call. I don't know if this is exactly in your area, Kurt, but do you know what we're doing when it comes to taxes right now?
I know enough of taxes to know that I am not an accountant, so any advice I give you would be inaccurate. There's a lot of changes to the tax law in the federal stimulus bill, the CARES Act. So I would urge Jim to contact his accountant.
All right. Good luck to you, Jim. But speaking of small businesses, we heard from Gary in Iron River who says, hey, what about the landlords? And that's an interesting point because they still have to pay their mortgages, maintenance, things like that, and their income stream may be drying up a little bit.
That's exactly right. I know that everyone is concerned with renters, and we should be, because we don't want anyone to lose their housing during this public health emergency. But most landlords are actually mom and pop or small business owners. And as you said, they have bills that they have to pay. For most landlords, the largest bill they have to pay is actually the mortgage itself on their property. So for most landlords, you have about 50% of your expenditures is your own mortgage or debt. Now, some of those landlords may be able to get forbearance on that mortgage if that mortgage is owned by Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac. But landlords have other expenses, utilities, maintenance, insurance, their staff. They need to pay property taxes and all the other expenses that come with owning a small business. So much like any other small business owner, if your clients can't pay you, then you can't pay your employees or pay your bills. And I know that there's a lot of people who say we should cancel rent or forbear rent. And the only way that would not cause major disruptions to the property owners is if there was a federal or state package of money to pay landlords directly. Now, I think larger landlords should have reserves and may be able to access some of the special lending through the Federal Reserve or their investors. But what I worry about is the mom-and-pop landlords who own the majority of the rental stock in Wisconsin. You know, if I have 10 tenants and one can't pay the rent, that's a 10% loss in my income. If I have 100 tenants and one can't pay the rent, that's only a 1% decline in my income. So unless we also provide a way to help small landlords, you might start seeing foreclosure of small rental properties, which would have a really devastating effect on tenants. I just want to say that the best way we can help landlords during this time period is to make sure that their renters have enough income to pay the rent.
That said, Kurt, in our last minute and a half or so, what policy solution would you like to see state or federal level that you think could be the biggest difference maker to help people stay in their houses until, knock on wood, we're mostly through this thing?
Well, in terms of the home ownership market, I do think that a lot of the provisions that you've already seen in the CARES Act give homeowners a lot of protections, and I don't think that we're going to see a high rate of foreclosures as we did in 2008. But as you point out, there's a lot of money in the CARES Act for various sorts of programs, but there's no direct renter support. So my own kind of back of the envelope calculation would be, if you really want to keep people in their homes and make sure that they're able to keep in their rental homes and that they don't get evicted, you would need a pretty large subsidy or stimulus package that would go specifically to renters, and that would be close to $100 billion. Of course, states and local governments can help out, but they are also in major financial distress right now, and their limited resources are mainly spent on responding to the public health crisis.
We'll leave it there for now. Kurt, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That was Kurt Paulson. He's an associate professor of housing, land use, and municipal finance at UW-Madison. He joined us today for a look at what renters and homeowners need to know during the coronavirus outbreak. You can still share your thoughts and stories. Email ideas@WPR.org or tweet us @CentralTimeWPR.